This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning. This is the morning run on BFM 89.9, 7 minutes, 5 minutes past seven in the morning. I'm Koo Soo Chong, joined by Wong Chow Ning. Now, in about a quarter of an hour, we'll talk to Dr. Amjad Rabi, a visiting fellow at the University of Malaya Social Wellbeing Centre, on the efficacy of Malaysia's retirement system. But before that, markets. What happened in America overnight, Chow Ning?
Not such a good day because the Dow was down 0.8%, S&P 500 down 0.3%. Nasdaq had a good showing, though. It was up 0.6%. Meanwhile, Asia was somewhat mixed. Nikkei was flat. Hang Seng was down 0.5%. Shanghai Composite was up 0.1%. Straits Times Index down 0.4%. And we were up 0.4%.
And to get deep and meaningful about markets, we've got on the line with us Jack Cousy, Director of Strategy at VFS Group out of Sydney, Australia. Jack, g'day to you, mate. How are you going? Is the recent retracement in American share markets due to this pre-election portfolio reallocation?
Yeah, I think somewhat. I mean, it hasn't been a bad month for equities in terms of the month of October, but I think people are trying to take some cash off the table. I think people are positioning themselves maybe for a possible realignment. You know, we keep talking about this sector rotation. And we've certainly seen it in industrials, but we haven't seen it in the banks. We certainly haven't seen it in energy or any of those value sectors that we talk about. I think the market's weighing up a few things. You know, are we going to have a contested election? I think that's starting to be priced out. The other thing probably weighing on markets is if you get a clear Biden victory or a blue wave, is there a new purposes for possibly shutting down economies so that we can get the virus under control? Plus, we've also had an outbreak in Europe and renewed shutdowns there. So there's a lot for the markets to take in, and we're going into earnings seasons. But like you said, the big thing around the corner, and we're only, I think, 6 days away now, is, you know, the biggest election of the biggest democracy and the largest economy in the world. And everybody's, I think, you know, with bated breath waiting for that.
And Jack, since you mentioned results, what were your views on Microsoft, which came out last night?
Yeah, I haven't had a good chance to digest the in detail, but they beat, you know, on both bottom line and top line. I had a look at the cloud figures again, really strong growth in Azure across all those services. A bit of a letdown in terms of their hardware or computer sales, but they did have a big year last year. I mean, this company really can't do anything wrong. And, you know, you saw the headlines this morning. I think they're getting in with SpaceX in terms of, you know, launching some streaming services out of there. But from what I saw, they beat again. And their guidance going forward was, again, quite strong. So, you know, it just goes to show that there are certainly winners and losers from this pandemic. And Microsoft, which was a winner before the pandemic, is even a bigger winner after and during this crazy time in markets for us.
Yeah, and if we cast our minds or cast our views a little bit further along the way, Amazon and Alphabet are all going to release results this week. How do you think they're going to do versus the last quarter? Are they going to be the new tech winners again?
Yeah, I think this brings a broader question. Let me talk about Amazon. Now, I think Amazon is going to do well regardless, right? But I think the broader question we're talking about when we're talking about these tech that investors need to understand is this pull forward. So they're going to hear the pull forward figure or the pull forward term a lot because we've had an acceleration in trends and therefore we've pulled forward these numbers in terms of demand. And the perfect example is Netflix that reported last week. So they had an enormous uptick in demand because people were at home and they pulled forward that growth. Now they missed on estimates and, you know, it was pretty damn obvious they were going to miss. Yet the stock price didn't break down, still trending between that. So I think Amazon is in that same perspective. The big area where I think the pull forward might hurt is some of these cloud stocks, some of these work from home, so these Zscalers. We saw SAP out of Europe report last week. It was a really bad report and it starts putting the pressure that pull forward estimates. Maybe we've pulled them forward too quickly. In terms of Alphabet, I think it's been the underperformer, but I expect a really, really strong number from their cloud, which I think is going to be continued growth perspective for this company. The only one I'm worried about the big three is possibly Apple, only because they've had so much good news priced into the stock price. But regardless, I think in these mega cap tech, they will continue to do strong. because there's nowhere else to go for investors at this point in time.
Yeah, Jack, and that's what's, I guess, drawing the attention of investors, because intriguingly, even though Microsoft basically stumped everyone and beat on the expectations, their share price initially first spiked and then they dropped. And people are saying that this, and some people, including Greenlight's David Einhorn, reckon this is the end of the tech boom. What do you reckon?
I'm sure whoever you just quoted is very smart, but they're wrong. There's nowhere to go. I mean, let's just break this down for your investors simply, okay? You can't put money in a bank because it gives you nothing, right? Bonds, nothing. Treasuries, nothing, right? And then you look at the equities market and you go, all right, do you want your money in airlines? Nope, no one wants their money in airlines. Do you want your money in energy? Absolutely not. Where do you want your money? Where is your safest place for your money at this point in time? And nothing's completely safe. It's in big tech. They're cashed up. They're growing. They're only growing even further. I'm sure we're going to talk about Ant Financial next. I mean, these are the areas you want to park your money in. Now, that may change in 12 to 18 months, but in my opinion, it's certainly not. And I know I sound like a broken record, but this is the place to have your money and continues to be my strongest and core holdings, both US and Chinese, and I'm talking big tech in general.
Okay, so Jack, Ant is not small, contrary to the insect we just discussed. It's going to raise maybe $6 billion more than Aramco, with a valuation of something like $314 billion. Where does the share price go on debut day?
It's going to pop, and I'll tell you why, because its subscriber rate is 4-1. Now, I can't get my hands on it, and I thought I was well connected in investment markets. So I'm going to, be embarrassed. I have been trying hand over fist to get my hands on a piece of this Ant Financial for the last 4.5 weeks. In fact, I've made calls to Beijing and tried to do whatever I could to get what I could. I can't get them. And that's because everybody wants them. Now, let me just talk to your viewers out there, your listeners, about what this company is. You're talking about a company that now is valued 4 times as big as Goldman Sachs and in line with JP Morgan. And I think this is going to grow because we're talking about a payments company, sure, but we're also talking about an insurance company, a lending company, a credit scoring company. And the most unique thing about it is this is a financial services company that does not have one physical store, not one branch, nowhere you can walk into, no bankers, no lenders. It's all done within an app. And that's what the unique thing about this is. And this is where I see the incredible growth for Ant Financial is, yes, they are big in China, but they are nowhere to be seen in North America, nowhere to be seen in Europe, and growing at an exponential pace in Southeast Asia. And that's where the next leg of growth is going to come for this company. I expect this to be up on day one because of the oversubscription. I expect this to be a big part of ETF portfolios in indexing going forward. And I expect them to do really well. Now, whether they get a pop on the first 2 weeks and start to come off, that's probably where I'll look for an entry. But yeah, incredible time, and incredible time for Jack Ma, who continues to have a bumper 2020.
All right, Jack, thanks so much for your time. That was Jack Cousy for VFS Group out of Sydney, Australia. Now, interesting, everybody and the dog want to get a bit of Ant Financial. I read somewhere, in fact, that in China, some banks are offering 33 times leverage to buy Ant shares.
It's almost impossible to get any stock. I think they're going to close the books early. They were so confident on this that they never even had any cornerstones, right, for the issue this size, which is rather unusual. But it's not cheap. It's trading at 31.4 times FY 2021 earnings. I think consensus is looking at 24 times for next year. But I think it's all down to scarcity value, right? If you want to buy a digital finance company, the size and scale, what choice do you have? It's Ant.
Well, I think Jack said it the most accurately, right? It's shampoo, it's conditioner, it's a swimming pool and the kitchen sink all rolled into one company.
But can you replicate the model overseas, which is the big question, right? Because that's going to be the stellar growth.
Okay, fodder for thought. Okay, don't go away. Quarter of an hour. 7:15 in the morning. Don't go away. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.